Chapter 9. There was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah of Benjamin. He had a son named Saul, an impressive young man without equal among the Israelites, a head taller than any of the others. Now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father Kish were lost, and Kish said to his son Saul,
"Take one of the servants with you, and go and look for the donkeys."
So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim, and through the area around Shalisha, but they did not find them. They went on into the district of Shalem, but the donkeys were not there. Then he passed through the territory of Benjamin, but they did not find them. When they reached the district of Zoph, Saul said to the servant who was with him,
"Come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us."
But the servant replied,
"Look, in this town there is a man of God. He is highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take."
Saul said to his servant,
"If we go, what can we give the man? The food in our sacks is gone. We have no gift to take to the man of God. What do we have?"
The servant answered him again,
"Look," he said, "I have a quarter of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God so that he will tell us what way to take."
Formerly in Israel, if a man went to inquire of God, he would say, "Come, let us go to the seer," because the prophet of today used to be called a seer.
"Good,"
Saul said to his servant.
"Come, let's go."
So they set out for the town where the man of God was. As they were going up the hill to the town, they met some girls coming out to draw water. And they asked them,
"Is the seer here?"
"He is,"
they answered.
"He's ahead of you. Hurry now. He has just come to our town today, for the people have a sacrifice at the high place. As soon as you enter the town, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not begin eating until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Go up now. You should find him about this time."
They went up to the town, and as they were entering it, there was Samuel, coming toward them on his way up to the high place. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel.
"About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him leader over my people Israel. He will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked upon my people, for their cry has reached me."
When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him,
"This is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people."
Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked,
"Would you please tell me where the seer's house is?"
"I am the seer," Samuel replied. "Go up ahead of me to the high place, for today you are to eat with me. And in the morning, I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. As for the donkeys you lost 3 days ago, do not worry about them. They have been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and all your father's family?"
Saul answered,
"But am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me?"
Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. Samuel said to the cook,
"Bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside."
So the cook took up the leg with what was on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said,
"Here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you for this occasion, from the time I said, 'I have invited guests.'"
And Saul dined with Samuel that day. After they came down from the high place to the town, Samuel talked with Saul on the roof of his house. They rose about daybreak, and Samuel called to Saul on the roof,
"Get ready, and I will send you on your way."
When Saul got ready, he and Samuel went outside together. As they were going down to the edge of the town, Samuel said to Saul,
"Tell the servant to go on ahead of us."
And the servant did so.
"But you stay here a while so that I may give you a message from God."
Chapter 10. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying,
"Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, 'The donkeys you set out to look for have been found, and now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He is asking, what shall I do about my son?' Then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor.
Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them. And they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do.
As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. When they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other,
"What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?"
A man who lived there answered,
"And who is their father?"
So it became a saying, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" After Saul stopped prophesying, he went to the high place. Now Saul's uncle asked him and his servant,
"Where have you been?"
"Looking for the donkeys,"
he said.
"But when we saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel."
Saul's uncle said,
"Tell me what Samuel said to you."
Saul replied,
"He assured us that the donkeys had been found."
But he did not tell his uncle what Samuel had said about the kingship. Samuel summoned the people of Israel to the Lord at Mizpah and said to them,
"This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought Israel up out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the power of Egypt and all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But you have now rejected your God who saves you out of all your calamities and distresses. And you have said, 'No, set a king over us.' So now present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and clans."
When Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan, and Matri's clan was chosen. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen. But when they looked for him, he was not to be found. So they inquired further of the Lord,
"Has the man come here yet?"
And the Lord said,
"Yes, he has hidden himself among the baggage."
They ran and brought him out. And as he stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. Samuel said to all the people,
"Do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people."
Then the people shouted,
"Long live the king!"
Samuel explained to the people the regulations of the kingship. He wrote them down on a scroll and deposited it before the Lord. Then Samuel dismissed the people, each to his own home. Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God had touched. But some troublemakers said,
"How can this fellow save us?"
They despised him and brought him no gifts. But Saul kept silent. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them he said,
"If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.